in you and makes you holy. You're not concerned about unholy things. You're only concerned about holy things. And when you concern yourself with holy things, and you concern yourself with the things of God, the things of this world go strangely dim. And I want to encourage you today, if there's some things in your past that are becoming dim, that's a great thing. Because the things of God are coming alive in you. Amen. Amen. Is anybody here today? Hey, praise God. Because God has a wonderful things for you today. And I'm to the point where you get so excited, you start fumbling. And I'm not going to fumble, amen, because that's not good. Amen. We're going to run to win the prize that God has for us today. And the message I'm going to talk to you about today is the message of grace. And there's something about grace that I've like just pressing into it just for like 7 days has helped me to realize that grace is far beyond what I'll ever obtain. There's a grace that's found in God that transcends every area of our life. There's a grace of God that is, it's like it follows right with the love of God. Like wherever God is, there's a grace available. Just like wherever God is, there's love. And they're so uniquely intertwined together to bring God's glory upon his children and his people. I want to tell you today, I'm going to do a series on the grace of God. And I don't really know how long it's going to last. But there's hindrances to the grace of God. There's growing in the grace of God. But today I want to talk about the grace of God concerning salvation. The grace of God concerning deliverance and how God's grace, unearned favor, unmerited favor, God's blessing upon his children and how the kingdom is interjected into this life and transforms our lives. And when you understand the grace of God, it pulls you away from the realms of the natural. It pulls you away from this world standard. It pulls you away from walking in your flesh. And it allows you to just walk in the peace and the presence of God. And it's nothing you can do except receive it. This whole thing I'm talking about is a gift. You don't buy it. You didn't earn it. You don't look good enough for it. Nothing. There's nothing you can do except for yield to it. But it transcends your whole life, your whole world. It will literally allow God's kingdom to produce in your life moment by moment, and you didn't do anything but open the door to it. Do you understand? That's the grace of God. And it interjects everything. Your ministry, your marriage, each one of you sitting here and listening online. I'm telling you, there is a grace today available for this whole day. All 24 hours of this day, there's a grace that God has for this day. There is a mercy that has been provided for everything that you're dealing with right now. God's grace is available for it. The favor of God is available for whatever it is that you have. You say, well, I got a lot. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of grace available for it. More than enough to handle what you're going through. There's nothing that you've done that the grace of God cannot come and turn around. I'm telling you, church, you grab a hold of this. You don't have to walk in your flesh another day. You don't have to concern yourself with your performance. Because performance has nothing to do with the grace of God. The grace of God transcends performance. Your performance didn't get you anywhere, and it's not going to get you anywhere. Amen. It's the grace of God that you got here today. I heard a minister say one time, if it wasn't for the Lord could come down and change a chemical in your head, and all of a sudden you'd be on the ground drooling, I'm not able to do anything. Because God has sustained you to a place where you can function. Your ability to breathe and live on this earth is the grace of God. Amen. Your ability for seed to be sown and for births to come to pass is the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying? Grace transcends everything. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we all be burned up, done, nothing. we'd be a pile of nothing. Like you learn in science class. Nothing. Just nothing. The grace of God touches everything. And when you start understanding that it's available to you, give me more, Lord. Show me your grace. I need your favor. I need your mercy. It's what gets you saved. It's what keeps you saved. See, what happens, and I need to get to the offering before I get into this. Let me just do that. 2 Corinthians 8, you get excited about this. Grace even deals with offering. Grace, if you understand the love of God, you'll understand the grace of God. Because they go hand in hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. I'm going to get into it sometime in the next couple weeks. That God's grace transcends through his son. It's through Jesus Christ that the grace of God is known to man. It's all through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. Let's look at this. The Church of Macedonia. I'm talking about the offering here this morning. At least I'm attempting to. I'm asking for God's grace to be able to get this done. I'm telling you, you're going to get a wonderful message from God speaking to your spirit by the grace of God. Not by the minister. By the ministering of the Holy Spirit. It is the grace that's going to flow. Because I can't bring order to a service. I just can't do it. I just got to flow with what God does. Amen. But you need to realize something, that the grace of God that was on Jesus produced the church. The grace of God on every minister blesses you guys. So what I'm doing up here is by the grace of God. And it'll cause blessing to you. And God's grace on your life will cause blessing to people around you. I can't explain. I can, in the English vocabulary, explain how big God is with his grace and what he can do. I'm trying the best I can. But you got to catch it in the spirit. You got to grab a hold of the grace of God. And when the grace of God comes upon you and you start realizing it, you'll realize how much you don't know and how much you need to rely on God. Because God's grace doesn't just flow with the love of God. It is intertwined with faith as well. The grace of God is directly influenced and flows with faith. So where faith is, there's grace available. Where faith isn't, there's no grace. You understand? Because faith is in God and grace is from God. So if you don't have faith in God, you don't have God's grace. Yeah. We walk by faith, not by sight. So if you're walking in your flesh, you can't walk in the grace of God. The grace of God is not in your ability. The grace of God is in your believing. Amen. That's what makes it so easy and so fun. The person that can believe in God, they're the ones that's going to walk in the grace of God. But the one that wants to lift everything and do every task and try to earn their salvation and walk in traditions and try to do it in their own power, in their own intellect, they're saying, I got this. There's no grace available to you because you're saying you can do it. Grace is yielding. Grace is surrendering. Hallelujah. You grab a hold of this. It's like the Christian life is fun. Because it's not in your power. It's the grace of God. My ability to minister to you. The anointing that you feel right now. Amen. Is the grace of God. It's nothing. It's me yielding to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, offering. 2 Corinthians 8. Get this. Grace has nothing to do with performance. Grace has nothing to do with what you're seeing in a scenario, because the grace of God put Jesus on the cross. And you think, well, I thought grace is always good and positive. Yes, it is good and positive, but there's times where the grace will put you places, send you places to do things to glorify God that your flesh doesn't want to do, because Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. But by the grace of God, he did, and by what he did, he overcame sin, so all of us could benefit by Jesus being faithful to go to the cross. And the way he got through it is the grace of God. And the way you're going to get through it is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Faith will move mountains. Why? The grace of God.
When you believe God will move the mountain, guess what? The mountain has to move because God's not a liar. And he has the power to move it. You can either try to move your mountain with a shovel, or you can ask the Lord and surrender your life to God and say, Lord, I need this mountain moved. And all of a sudden it'll be cast in the sea. Which one works easier? Which one's less labor intensive? Believe, church. Believe in the grace of God. Okay, back to the offering. Maybe the offering's not for now. Jeez. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 through 5. New Living Translation. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters. And I feel like I'm talking to you. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters. What God in his kindness, that's the grace of God. Kindness is a definition of the grace of God. Has done through the churches of Macedonia. So there is a grace upon the Macedonian church. Guess what? There's a grace upon New Freedom Church. There's a grace upon you, brothers and sisters. Amen. Watch what happens here. They are being tested by many troubles. Oh, what? I thought if you were walking in the grace of God, you wouldn't have any issues in the flesh. No, no. That's not what the Bible reads. I'm reading right out of the Bible, by the way. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. Lord, have mercy. What are we reading here? I thought everything was perfect all the time as a Christian. No, you need to rely on the grace of God. Watch the difference. Watch the church in Macedonia, how they handled a situation when in the natural it didn't look good, but with the grace of God, all things were fine. Amen. Amen. You need to realize something, church. Your flesh may be going through something, but your spirit doesn't have to go through that same thing. The grace of God will carry you. The grace of God is sufficient. He's your ever-present help in time of need, church. And if you can see this, your spirit will be alive and good to go, even though whatever's happening around you is a problem, or is a test, or is a trial, or is a struggle. I'm not prophesying struggle. I'm just being real with you. If you understand the grace of God, you'll breeze through your struggle. You'll see your struggle differently. You'll see your trial differently. Amen. There's trials. You live in this life, there's trials, but there's ways to get through your trial. There's ways to pass the test. And it's not in your own power. It's the grace of God. The grace of God will help you pass your test. You may be in school right now wondering how in the world I'm telling you, you rely on the grace of God, he'll show you. The Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance. You'll do great on your test. At your job, there's a grace available for your job. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I can't figure this out. Then all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. Holy Spirit will guide you, give you the answers you need, the grace of God. You see how this works? It's not in your own ability. Amen. People go to school and Bible school for years, become doctors, and they don't even walk in the grace of God. They're trying to figure it out themselves. Yet there's congregation members that just yield to the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden you're in the grace of God, and you're doing it more than the person that went to Bible school for 10 years and has a DR in front of their name or an MD at the end. Not MD, but doctorate, whatever, PhD. Yeah, there we go. Get out of my flesh, just get in the spirit. Amen. Who gives you the knowledge and the wisdom and the discernment to live out this life? God. God gives it. The Holy Ghost gives it. Amen. That's the grace of God. Grace is attached to everything that the kingdom's attached to. So if you can put the kingdom of God and the word of God in every situation in your life, guess what you have? You have the grace of God. Grace is available. Guess what? When you read your Bible or hear the word of God, it's faith. Faith is being released when the word of God is being released. Amen. Every time. There's faith being released right now. Some are going to grab a hold of it. Amen. Walk in it. And others, it may pass by. I hope it doesn't. But that doesn't mean there's less faith being released. Faith is always released when you read the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hear it and receive the grace of God. All right. So, verse 2, they are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also, here we go, but they are also filled with abundant joy. How in the world are you poor and broke but filled with joy? Anybody? The grace of God. I didn't hear what was said, but that's all right. The grace of God. What gives you joy in the midst of a trial? God. Amen. What allows you to wake up in the morning with a smile on your face knowing you got to go to work? The grace of God. The grace of God fills you with joy, filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed rich generosity. They were able to be joyful and give in the midst of being poor. How do you do that? You can't physically do that. That does not make sense. It does not make sense to give when you don't have, when you're poor. But God, let's read on. You say, I've never heard of this before. Yeah, it's the Bible. It's amazing. When you get a hold of what God has in His grace, it'll transform your life. You guys are too quiet in here. You're letting the gloom of the world outside in the clouds dictate your joy. You get a hold of God's grace and it makes you happy. Yeah. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. The grace of God will cause you to do things that other people are like, oh Lord, what are you doing? What in the world are you thinking? Why do you go to church 3 days a week? Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you give money to a God you don't see? Because there's much more benefit than giving it to a government that I do see. You understand what I'm saying? The grace of God will transform your life to do things supernaturally that others don't understand. You'll go where all night prayer. People will hear about that and they'll be like, oh my God, all night, that's like 8 hours. 12 hours. Whatever. Whatever. All depends on what you look at it. All night. Amen. All night prayer. You look at that and you think, man, I don't know it. You start weighing in your flesh. I don't know if I have time for that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can stay awake. That's all. I don't know what I can do. You notice that? Every time you hear something, how you receive it and how you process it, if there's a I in there or a me in there or a we in there, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're eliminating the grace of God. But if you say, Lord, I thank you that you've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. You're telling yourself, hey, by faith, you're the head, you're not the tail. I don't want to be the backside, I want to be the front side. Bad things happen on the backside. Amen. Good things, vision, going forward on the front side, going up. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going in reverse, church. The grace of God does not have a reverse. The only thing the grace of God has that's reverse is reverse the curse and break it off of you. That's what the grace of God will do. It'll change your life. It'll transform your life. And it's nothing to do with what you can or can't do in the physical realm or in the mental realm. Because there's young people in the back there that are on fire for God, that are saved, and the grace of God's on them. Watch what they're going to do. When people tell me there's a young generation that's not going to be able to figure things out, you're basing it off of your life and when you were young and how the old way was, the good old days. But you don't realize there's a grace available for the young generation that's going to supernaturally take them far beyond where you've been. And if you limit the young people, I'm telling you, get out of the way. Because the young person's going to run right past you. And you're going to be like, whoo, where'd they come from? Amen. There's going to be schools that are going to be set on fire by the grace of God. Amen. Hey, if you can see it in the spirit, by the grace of God, you can enter into that place. You live your life on fire for God. See, grace is far more powerful than just having a blessing that you receive. Grace is a divine influence upon your heart. It is power. Grace has power. Amen. And most people look at power as only just the Holy Spirit to enable you to do something. But grace, I'm telling you, grace mixed with the Holy Spirit not only gives you the power to accomplish it, it gives you the thought process to know you're already there. That's what grace does. Most people are, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Way ahead of myself. Jesus. I got it, dear. Amen. I got it. Thanks for preaching for me. Amen. Grace is, oh, Jesus, help me. Help me. Let me get this offering done, and then I'll go after it. For I can testify, verse 3, that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Free will is the key to God's grace. Freeing up your will, breaking off your will, allows God's will and his grace to flow in your life. Breaking off your will. That's speaking to somebody because I can't seem to move any farther. Breaking off your will, your ways, your plan, your own desires, your flesh. You, I, me has got to go. That does not minister in the kingdom of God. Yielding you, Lord, only you, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plans or purposes, but your plans and purposes. You see how this works? That's what plugs you into the grace of God. The sooner you can surrender, the quicker the grace of God will move in your life. Amen. Amen. This is, you say, is it that simple? You mean I don't have to go to church for 5 years, 3 times a week to get a hold of it? No, but it would sure help. Sure does help, because faith comes by hearing. And the more you get in his presence, the more you yield. The more knowledge you have, the more you yield. You say, does that mean I have to read my Bible every day? Doesn't mean you have to, but I guarantee you it'll help. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And the more you hear, the more you know, the more you know, the more you yield. The more you yield, the more grace flows in your life. Hallelujah. This is easy. It's easy. Religion makes it hard. The law makes it hard. Going back to the Old Testament of all the regulations. Regulations are, it's not how that works. The new covenant does not work on regulations. The new covenant works on obedience and grace. The new covenant, better promises. It's based on yielding to the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit of God. And the grace of God will just flow in your life. You say, it doesn't work that? Yes! I've never heard this gospel. Well, I'm sorry, you've heard a bad gospel. This is the truth of God's word. God's grace is available for all. And it's sufficient for every single area you have. Lord, help me get this offering done. Verse 4, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers. And they were literally begging. These were poor in Macedonia. They were poor. They were going through tests, going through trials. But they were begging because they knew if they could give to the kingdom, they knew God's grace and everything that they had need of would be met. They knew it. It wasn't in, let me go get a job in labor and try to figure everything out. And then once we get to the position we need to get to, that we think we need to get to, once our 401k gets to where we feel settled, then we'll start giving. That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works, you give to God first. Don't worry about your 401k. It's going to happen. He'll supernaturally bring it. He'll show you. And I'm not against 401ks, but I'm saying seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. That's the grace of God. Why does grace work that way? Because you're yielding of yourself and you're allowing God. So when it comes to finances, it's not based on where you are. It's based on what you're looking at and where you're going. Amen. When you know where you're going with God and you know God's number one, look out. You are unstoppable. There's nothing in this world that can stop the grace of God. Yes, there's hindrance you can do. You can limit the grace of God. But there's nothing in this world. Once you know how grace operates, once you know how the Holy Spirit and power and the Word of God operates, there's nothing that can stop it. You are the only thing that can stop the grace of God from operating in your life. That's a different sermon, different time. That's going to be a fun one. But anyway, you notice here, verse 5, they even did more than we hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Give your heart to God. Give your life to God. That's why we preach salvation every single time that we have church, because that's the first step into what God has. Amen. They first did what? Their first action was give themselves to the Lord and to us. So they gave themselves, number one, to the Lord. Then they gave themselves to the apostles. So they trusted in the leadership of the church. Amen. And they gave because they knew that the church was for the church of Jerusalem, was for the kingdom of God. So both things are the kingdom of God. First to heaven, first to the Lord, and then to the church locally. That's what they gave. Amen. So the grace of God, the kindness of God operates, the mercy of God operates when you give yourself to the Lord. So when you give your finances to the Lord, guess what? That allows the grace of God to just marinate, I can't think of a better word, your finances. I'm not talking about just what's coming in. I'm talking about what's going out too. I'm talking about the grace of God for your bills, just like the grace of God for your income. See, God's grace doesn't just work on the income side. The grace of God, he'll eliminate bills for you. You read about debt reduction all over signs and, you know, cash now and all this. I'm telling you, God's grace will work on that all this, instantly. You'll see bills that were there that aren't there anymore. You say, well, I can't, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, that's the problem. Your doubt. When you doubt, you do without. I'm telling you. If you can believe for it, God's grace can do it. Some of you may be in a tight place right now. You may be in a test and a struggle, just like the church of Macedonia. But what did they do? They gave themselves to the Lord. Amen. They gave themselves to the apostles, and they sowed. They gave. They gave. And many people, you will talk your way out of it every time in the flesh. You'll talk your way out of it. But do what the Lord's telling you to do. Amen. I know we're taking two offerings today. If we weren't online, we're taking an offering as well. If you want to sow into the rescue and the rebuild of the hurricane, what is it, Helen? I don't know the name of it, but it's gone now. It's done, but the aftermath is still there and people are hurting. So we are taking up an offering. If you can't give right now, you can give later on and just put disaster relief, okay? So if I can have the ushers, please, just do what the Lord's telling you to do. Do what the Lord's telling you to do, but hold on, ushers. But before you do, get your head out of the way and get your faith turned on. Turn your faith on to the grace of God and know that God's got you. He sees what you're going through. He knows what you're going through, and he isn't swayed by it one bit. He is not moved by it. He'll show you exactly what you have need of. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9. How can you be a cheerful giver when you're going through things? Or how can you be a cheerful giver when times are tough? The grace of God. The favor of God will give you the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing too big for God. What are you believing for? There's something here. I know I've been on it for a while, but everything in the kingdom of God is received as soon as you release. Releasing causes movement. Releasing causes faith to be turned on and God to move.
The ability to receive is in your release. That's what I feel in my spirit, the Lord speaking right now. The ability to receive is truly rooted in your release. So when you release of self, you receive the Spirit of God. When you release of your intellect and your mind and your thoughts, you receive the thoughts and the will and the plans of God. This is for somebody. God, somebody's getting breakthrough right now. I'm telling you, an area in your life, as soon as you release of it in your own ability and power, you're going to start seeing the power of God and the grace of God start functioning in it. It may be in finances. It may be in finances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is just one aspect of release of finances. Releasing of control. Sowing and tithes and offering is an area of releasing finances to receive the kingdom of God and the grace of God in your finances. But truly, the essence of financial breakthrough is in stewardship. It's in stewardship in every area of your finances. It's just coming out of my spirit. It's for somebody. Maybe it's somebody online. Praise God. The moment you release is the moment you're going to start receiving. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the offering today. I thank you for the tithers here today, the sowers. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that our faith is attached to the seed, Lord. And we just sow it right into your kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you not only for a harvest in our own lives, but a harvest for the kingdom of God. A harvest of souls, glory to God. A harvest of deliverance. A harvest of healing around the world, Lord, by this seed in the hand right now. We just release it to you, Lord. We release it to you, Lord, by faith. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I got the offering done. Praise God. Oh, Lord. So the title of the message is Grace for Salvation. You can turn the instrumental off. I'm getting ready to preach. Amen. See, the grace of God is a source of power. It really is. And I was talking about this earlier, that most people look at God's grace as something that manifests in their life. And there's a lot of truth to that. That's part of it. But grace really starts on the heart. Grace is a divine influence upon the heart. That's where grace starts. And when the grace of God comes on you, there's something that's working on the inside first. The outside is a fruit of what's taking place on the inside. For instance, when you reap, there had to be a sowing first, right? There's always something first that produces something later. Amen. And the grace of God has that that quality. That's how it operates. The grace of God will operate off of something on the inside. Faith on the inside becomes churning or gets set on fire, and the grace of God starts producing. See, grace works with faith. Grace works with love. All right? So when you sow love, you're going to reap love. When you sow grace, you're going to reap grace. When you sow favor to other people, when you sow to God, guess what? You're going to reap what God has for you, a blessing. So grace is unearned blessing, but you first must realize you got to open the door to allow the grace to flow. You got to get your heart turned to God and your eyes fixed on Jesus. And I want you to see that, because many people talk about grace only as a byproduct. They don't talk about the grace is the power of God. Think about this. And I'm going to talk about this in Ephesians. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift. So grace is a gift that's available to the body of Christ, to all of humanity. But the way the grace of God is funneled through a person's life is by faith. You must believe that it's for you. And when you believe it's for you, you'll lay aside you
and allow that to flow through you. So when you walk by faith, not by sight, grace isn't moved based off of what you see. Grace is moved based off of what you believe. And I'm telling you, you grab a hold of this truth. Some of you are looking at me like you're half asleep. But I'm telling you, you grab a hold of it, it will set you on fire. It'll free you from trying to live a life bound up by your ability. God isn't interested in your ability. He's interested in your heart surrender to Him. And you'll do supernatural things outside of your ability when you yield to the grace of God. When you yield to the grace of God. I need to share scriptures with you, I know. But the best definition I've found for grace, which is charis. That's a Greek word, which is unearned, unmerited favor and blessing. Amen. It'll cause you to be gratified or gratitude. It causes gratitude. It's God's merciful kindness for mankind. That's the grace of God. It's His mercy and His kindness as well. But the best definition I've found is in Strong's thus far, is divine influence upon the heart and is a reflection in life. So God's grace is two part. It's a divine influence of your heart that reflects in your life. So grace isn't only the reflection in your life of God. Grace is a divine influence and power working on the inside that you're yielding to. This, you won't catch this in your head. Divine influence is not caught with your head, it's caught with your spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit is vitally important in your human spirit, in your keeping your conscience pure, is key to walking in the grace of God. Because if you have a hard heart and you're walking in your flesh, you can't walk in the grace of God. God's grace will not flow through you because it can't get to you. Did you get that? If God can't get it to you, He certainly can't get it through you. But if when you yield, you can receive God's grace, and it'll flow in you, and you'll start producing it on the outside, and that production of God's grace is what benefits everybody around you. When you walk in the grace of God, other people are affected in a good way, in a very good way. Let's go here. Jesus, I want to talk about Jesus first. Luke 20, verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40. I had you going there, CJ, didn't I, Kim? I had you going. Luke 2, 40. This is the Amplified. It says, "And the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So God's grace will produce wisdom and strength in your spirit. They work together. This is talking about the life of Jesus. He grew in spirit and in wisdom, and the favor and the mercy and the kindness of God was upon him. Notice, if you want to grow in the things of the spirit, you'll have to grow in the grace of God as well. Did you get that? Wow, it is quiet in here. My wife is telling me how to preach here again. The definitions. Charis. Did you know the word grace is really a noun? It's a thing that you have to receive on the inside. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. So this plant here, this is a thing, and I'm not going to pick it up or spill it. But for that plant to be here, it had to be received and brought here. Grace has to be received. It has to be allowed in. It's not an automatic. I want you to understand something. Grace is not automatic. So when God's grace is upon somebody, His favor and blessing, it wasn't an automatic. They did something. They yielded something. They surrendered something. Me ministering up here and pastoring New Freedom Church wasn't a harebrained idea that I came up with to say, I'm going to be a pastor today. We'll get this thing started. No, it was a big time surrender of business, of life, of family. For years, surrendered, traveled around across the country to go to Bible school. It was a surrender of inheritance. There's a lot that was yielded for this to come to where it is now. You understand what I'm saying? So when you see the grace of God and you read about the grace of God on Jesus and Paul and other men and women of God in the Bible, guess what? That grace wasn't just because they woke up and said, well, I believe God's grace is upon me and I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. I guarantee you, when you talk to Paul in heaven, it didn't just happen on the Damascus Road. That was not his plan. But God had a plan for Paul. And I'm not going to get into that. I'll get into it another day. But with Jesus, you have to realize something, that he grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the favor and the blessing of God was upon him. What you saw in Jesus as he grew and ministered in Scripture and on this earth didn't just happen to happen. He had to yield to the Father. He had to come down from his divine position and take on sin and die to be raised again and to live the life that God had for him, for us to be able to live the life that God has for us. So God's grace on Jesus allows us to walk in the grace of God ourselves. And if it wasn't for his faithfulness of walking into God's grace, we wouldn't be able to walk in God's grace. That should tell you something, church. How you live under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how you live your life in God influences people around you. You parents out there, you grandparents, how you live your life is an influence of the grace of God to make available for those around you. It's powerful. Hebrews 2:9 amplified. This is also about Jesus. Then I'm going to get into the church. Verse 9 says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. This is talking about when he came down to the earth. By taking on the limitations of humanity, crowned with glory and honor. How can you be crowned? How can you decrease but we be crowned with glory and honor? The grace of God. God's plan for your life, praise God, is going to be full of glory and honor because the grace of God. Not because of your own doing. Not because of your own ability. See, Jesus' faithfulness to serve, the grace of God was upon it. And in the natural, it didn't look how he thought it would look. In the natural, your life may not look how you think it should look. But when God's grace is upon you, you'll fulfill everything that you need to fulfill on this earth. Every single thing will be fulfilled by the grace of God. Amen. It's in you. It's a decision to yield and to surrender and allow his grace, his favor to flow in your life. Amen. And it will be fulfilled. I'm telling you right now, every single one of you, you listening online, if you yield to Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, you will fulfill the plan of God for your life. Amen. You will fulfill it. You say, how can you say that? By the grace of God. I can't say it because I'm your pastor and I'm going to do it for you. I'm not saying it because it's wishful thinking. I know God's grace is more than enough. It's sufficient, the Bible says. God's grace is sufficient. So you may have some harebrained idea or ministry to do. It's probably God, because it's beyond your scope of understanding. It's beyond your ability to do. God's got great things for me. This is just the start. This is just the start, church. What God has you doing and where he has you serving is always a starting point. It's never a finishing point. Finish line is heaven. Finish line is when we no longer have this vessel. But if we got this vessel, there's still things to do that the grace of God is going to be poured out in our lives to do it. Favor and blessing. The other definition is God's merciful kindness for mankind. But he goes on here and it says, because of his suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might experience death for the sins of everyone. So this tells us here that grace carried Jesus through, not his flesh. Grace carried Jesus through to the end. It wasn't his flesh. And the reason grace carried him through is because what he did was extended to all mankind. So the grace that you're living and walking in, church, is going to extend through you. You know, the Bible says you'll have an inheritance for your children's children. That's the grace of God. Some of you are like, I don't have two pennies to rub together right now. How am I going to have an inheritance? Guess what? The grace of God. The grace of God. You may say, well, the economy's not allowing me to flourish like I think I should. You're limiting yourself by putting it on the realm of the natural. You allow the grace of God, He'll supernaturally do things for your life. The loaves and the fishes weren't enough in that time to feed the 5,000, were they? The coin in the fish's mouth. Fish do not swim around with coins in their mouths. That doesn't happen. They don't eat gold off the bottom and spit it out for people. You understand what I'm saying? There's a grace that's supernatural that's beyond your ability. And if you can grab a hold of that, it'll take you farther than you've ever been before. Farther than you can even think of going. An apostle laid hands on me and says, international ministry. I'm thinking, you're nuts in my head. But within, I think, like a month or two, all of a sudden we were ministering to a church in Haiti. Just like that. And I thought, how did that? I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And that word was true. And I think to myself, man, there's words that the Lord is speaking to His people that you're thinking can't happen. But God's like, I don't speak just to speak. I spoke it because I have you to do it. I have a plan for you to do and to accomplish. And the only way you're going to get it is through the grace of God. You can't do it in your own power. Jesus could not do it in His own power. He needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's grace on you will cause others to be blessed. How many have had a testimony before? Something that you were going through? You believed God, that God showed up and He carried it through. And brought you to a place that you couldn't do in your own power. You had to trust God. What is that? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God in the midst of a test that you had a testimony. See, we brush these things off, but you need to realize something. God's grace is available in every situation. Every day is a testimony day. Hey, come on. Some of you are getting all over this. Every day is a day of deliverance. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. There's a grace available to save you. You say, well, I'm already saved. I'm way beyond just your spirit man being saved. I'm way beyond that. I'm saying there is a day to save you or deliver you from a thought pattern. There's a day today of delivering from a sickness or a disease, from a lie of the enemy. Today is the day of salvation. There is a grace here to deliver you in Jesus' name. You say, well, I don't need delivering. Well, if you think you're perfect, you need delivering. You understand what I'm saying? If you think you've arrived already, you've missed it. We haven't arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. But there is a grace that is available, that covers our sins, that has redeemed us from the curse of sin and death, that has redeemed us from the law. Amen, and it's the grace of God. And if you can receive it, church, you'll walk in victory all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11. I'm going to read it in Amplified, then I want to read it in New Living Translation. It says, for the remarkable, undeserved grace of God. That's phenomenal. Remarkable, that's like miraculous. And undeserved, not in our power. So there's something God has for you that's remarkable and you don't even deserve it. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. New Living Translation says it this way. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all men. So no one has an excuse because salvation has been brought to how many men? All men. Now, let me give you a little Greek, geeky Greek terminology here. Pastor Lacey moment, okay? That word salvation there is not the typical word salvation in majority of scripture, which is sozo. That word there, salvation, is, and I may not say this right, soterion, and that may be pronounced wrong. I'm not a Greek scholar, okay? But that word really means defender or defense. It means protector. It's talking about Jesus himself. So let me read it again. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing Jesus to all men or all people. It's talking about the person of Jesus has been revealed. How has he been revealed? He walked on the earth for 33 years. Amen. He's been revealed to all men. He has been made known. It's not talking about the literal salvation. It's talking about the person that brings it. And it changes it. It changes the aspect. God's grace makes your defense available. So the grace of God literally helps you to understand and realize that there's a defender for you. And he's available. And he's available to all men. So it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. There's a defender. Because all men, it's available to everybody. You can't out-sin God. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus paid it all. Past, present, and future sin. There's not a sin that Jesus can't deliver you from. There's not a sickness or a disease that man or the earth can come up with that can deny you from the defender and their healer. You understand? That's the grace of God. And when you understand that, there's no demon in hell that's going to ever stop you. Come on. There's no thought pattern that's bigger than the defender and the grace of God that's available to you. In Jesus' name. And if you can receive the defender, you have the defense that you need and the deliverance that you need. And it's available to every single person all around the world. Everybody. It's available to everybody. For people to say you got to be a certain way to come to church, they're lying. And I know I'm speaking bold, but I'm telling you, the defender is available to them. You don't have to defend yourself. You need to rely on the one that already paid for you. You don't need to work out your sin and try to be good enough to be accepted by God. Guess what? You're already accepted. You just don't know it yet. The grace of God calls you to be accepted. Jesus, the defender, already came. The Redeemer already came. He paid it all already. There's no sin that you've done or will do that can separate you from God. The defender is here. You hear what I'm... This is big. This is big. No matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter here. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing the defender to all people. Jesus is available. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved there is sozo. That's the literal transformation, new creation experience. This is talking about the one that brings it, the defender, Jesus himself. So when you believe on Jesus, I'm not going to say the word, but this salvation here, what it means, when you believe the defender, you receive sozo, which is your salvation. So there's one that brings it, which is Jesus. He's the only way. Amen. But he has made the way available to everybody. All the time. All the time. You'd say, well, I'm born again. I got saved on this day, but I haven't been doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you, there's a grace available for you right now, today. You don't have to live the way you lived before. You don't have to think the way you think before. You can be set free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. For the grace of God, the favor, the unearned favor. You don't have to do anything to receive this. Just receive the gift. Stop laboring trying to be good enough. Stop wondering if you're saved or not. You got the defender on the inside of you. You're saved. You received him. In Jesus' name. I'm hitting on something. I don't know why I'm preaching like this, but... I do know why. Amen. So grace causes the one that can deliver you to come. So if grace causes the deliverer to come, that means you have to surrender yourself for the deliverer to operate in your life, for the grace to operate in your life. So if you're holding on to something that you're trying to work out, the defender can't defend for you. The grace of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God cannot operate because you're holding it. You're holding it. If you keep thinking on negative things, that's holding it. You're holding the thought. You're holding on to it. It says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Christ, the defender. And the grace of God will deliver you from that thought. But you've got to be able to release it. If you're holding that thought, there's people that hold their sickness because they get money from the government. You hold your sickness, you're going to be working that thing out the rest of your life. The rest of your life. If you're based off of, you're getting something because you're holding something, and I'm telling you, you got to work that thing out yourself. The grace of God is not available. But as soon as you say, I don't want this anymore, my God will supply all of my needs. I'm not based off of the government system. Amen. I'm not going in there for disability when I know I can work. Come on. I'm speaking to people. People are on a system getting money from the government and knowing darn well they can work. Yeah. There's people that I know that are on disability getting paid from the government, going out and working a cash job. They're double dipping. I'm telling you, the grace of God is not going to deal with that. Anyway, I'm not getting into works, but you got to be able to yield to God. You have to yield to God. Many think they aren't good enough for God. The grace of God works the opposite of that. See, I got to be a certain way to come to church. I got to live a certain way to get into the blessing of God. I got to do this, this, and this to be able to receive the grace of God. Grace does not work that way at all. It's the total opposite. It's the total, not saying you don't do anything, but out of God's grace, it'll cause you to go do things for God because you'll be free from what's holding you back. You understand what I'm saying? You'll literally want to, and that's how sin operates. Sin will hold you back from doing things you don't think you're good enough, right? But when sin is lifted, then freedom comes, and you end up doing greater, even sometimes in the same area. For instance, people that are caught up in addiction or something, and the Lord delivers them by the grace of God, that power that delivered them usually sends them back into the place to help deliver other people in the same area. That's how good God is. God will smack the devil, deliver you out of it, then send you back to smack the devil off of other people. That's how funny God is. He'll take you into places that you are delivered from to reveal the goodness of God and say, this is my testimony. This is what the Lord did for me. He can do it for you. Amen. The Lord delivered me from the Eastern Shore to go to Bible school to come right back to it and share about His goodness and His grace and His love. Amen. Nothing wrong with the Eastern Shore. I love it here, but I'm telling you, there's a grace that's available for the Eastern Shore, and they need to grab a hold of it. And till the day I die, I'll be preaching about the grace of God and the goodness of God. Amen. And salvation for all men. Amen. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. There's so much here. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is helping. You'll get what you need out of this in Jesus' name. Ephesians 2, 1. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. That's a bad place to be. But you were there, church. Notice that, past tense. You were there. You were dead in your disobedience, in your many sins. So why all of a sudden do we get set free and then we go back into places of disobedience? We're not relying on the grace of God. We go back to our flesh, relying in our own power. Hey, let's move on. Verse 2. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That tells us right now that obedience is the key. When you obey God, you can't live in sin. Let me read that again. He is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. So, before you were saved, you had a sinful nature that obeyed and lived after that nature. So you produced sin because you had a sinful nature living in you. But here we go. Verse 4. But God. Everybody say, but God. When God shows up, everything changes. But God is so rich in mercy. Sounds like a loving God to me. He's not condemning, he's loving. And he loved us so much. It even tells you that he loved us. So when you think that God doesn't love you, you're believing a lie right there. God loves you. And he has mercy for you. It doesn't, this is nothing, it says nothing about what you did or what you've done. It says God is so rich. You cannot change God's mercy and love for you. You hear what I'm saying? You can't change God. If you think God changes, it's because you changed. Not because God changes not. Okay? His mercy and his love is still just as much today for you as it was when you were born or as it is the day you pass on. His love and mercy doesn't change. So if you're thinking God doesn't love you as much today, that's stinking thinking that you need to get straightened out. You need to rely on his grace. I'm telling you, this will set you free. Read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. You're going to grab a hold of this saying, yeah, God does love me. Praise God. He has mercy for me. I mess up. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. Forgive me. You still have mercy for me today, and you still love me. I slip and fall and mess up. It doesn't change his love. God's love. And love never fails. God's not going to fail you, church. His grace won't fail you. Hallelujah. Woo, man, I could run right now. This is so much fun. Jesus. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that he, even though we were dead because of our sin, see, sin kills. But when you get rid of sin, you're alive. Ha, when sin is no longer, there's no power of sin over your life. There's no death on you. You don't stink no more. Sin makes you stink. Sin causes death. Okay, different message. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. What is the only way that gets you saved? God's grace. We ought to know about it, huh? We ought to get some information about the grace of God because that's literally what got us saved. Amen. So if grace gets you saved, what keeps you saved? Grace. This is amazing. This is like kindergarten work. Amen. You don't change it based on what starts it, finishes it. If faith in God and grace of God gets you saved, that's what keeps you saved and keeps you walking in God is faith and grace. Notice this. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm going to buy this message even though it's free. Amen. Some of you got it. Anyway, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we were united with Christ Jesus. So we're no longer in the old stinky dead place we used to be. We're seated in heavenly places. Loved and full of mercy. God loves the church. God loves you. God loves you. You don't hear that enough. You're like, I've heard that before. You say it a lot. But for some reason, our thinking and thought patterns warp that where we think God doesn't love us as much. God's love doesn't change for you. He loves you. He loves the church. Even though the church may mess up, have bad doctrine at times, have a hireling behind the pulpit, God still loves the church. It's his bride. He loves his bride. Anyway, different message again. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. The church is an example of God's grace. Did you just hear that? You are an example of the grace of God. You say, well, I don't think I deserve that position. You don't. You didn't. The only way you have it is because of the grace of God. Because of Jesus. Do you see this? God sees you beautiful. God loves you tremendously. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. That's his favor towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. All of this, the whole church is wrapped around Christ. Notice that. Jesus has to be the center of grace. If Jesus isn't there, it's not grace. It has to be Jesus. So anything that's worshiped, if a congregation is worshiping something higher than Jesus or something in their flesh, the grace isn't there with it. Okay, verse 8, this is where it gets really good. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So God delivered you from sin, sickness, and disease, not because you look good or he thought you needed it. He did it because he loves you and he sent his son for you. And he wants everlasting fellowship in relationship with you. Do you know the whole Bible is about relationship? The whole Bible is about relationship and fellowship. It goes from perfect fellowship to sin that caused separation, till Jesus redeeming the fellowship and the church living in relationship and fellowship with their Heavenly Father. And then at the end, we have eternity with him. Forever. Relationship and fellowship. How good? That's a phenomenal. If you want to do a Bible study and get a topic, relationship and fellowship with your Heavenly Father. That's this whole book. It's about how people messed up. And how people were redeemed. It's about how people walked with the Lord. It's about how people rebelled from the Lord. It's about how people walked in the grace of God. It's about how people rejected the grace of God. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. So God saved you by his favor, unmerited, unearned favor, when you believed. So God's grace operates how? When you do what? Believe. So that's how it worked at salvation. That's how it works today. If you're born again and you're desiring the favor and the grace of God, all you got to do is believe that it's yours. Knowledge and wisdom and revelation allows you to walk in the grace of God. I'm going to talk about this the next sermon on growing in grace. Understanding how to walk in the grace of God. Different message. There's so much in Scripture about the grace of God. But I want you to, you got to be able to see this. The person that believes on Jesus walks in the grace of God. That's it. That's simple. Close your Bibles, go home. That's it. Believe on Jesus, there's the grace. Moment you do that, the grace of God shows up. And the more you start relationship, the more relationship you have with Jesus, guess what? The boatloads, the truckloads of grace come with it. Wherever revelation of Jesus is, grace is there. Grace is there. That's why love is there. That's why joy is there. That's why peace is there. Because that's the kingdom of God. You see how this works? Wherever Jesus is, there's grace. So if Jesus is in the house, Jesus the center of your home, Jesus the center of your marriage, there's grace there. But if Jesus is not the center of your marriage, grace is not going to be present. And that's why flesh operates in a marriage. Fights operate in a marriage. Disagreements. You understand? I'm not looking at anybody particular. Nobody. Okay? I'm just saying. Put Jesus first. God's grace is there. So if you have an area that's struggling, The reason it's struggling is because you're holding on to it, trying to figure it out yourself. Put it on the altar. Surrender it to God and watch. And then you won't struggle. It is easier. The more I know about Jesus, the easier ministry is. I rely on the grace of God. I have an understanding. I'm getting more and more understanding of the grace of God. And I'm telling you, by the end of October, you better look out. You better look out. All of you are going to be walking in something different that you've never walked in before. And it's going to be a new grace. It's going to be another level of grace that you never thought was available. You never thought it could be for you. You didn't think you deserve it. Guess what? You don't. None of us do. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve. Jesus did not deserve to go on the cross. He was perfect, sinless, spotless lamb. Didn't deserve to go there, but went there. Why? Because God's love, mercy, and grace was for his creation. And he sent his best to die so we could live. That's the gospel message. God's mercy and grace is the gospel message. And you say, well, that sounds too easy. That's too nice. What about the turn or burn message? I'm telling you right now, the grace of God will give you everything you need. People don't realize. See, they look at grace as, if I sin, I'll receive God's grace and mercy, and I'll repent, and things will be right. That's a small aspect of the grace of God. Do you know what truly the grace of God represents? The grace of God represents the power over sin. So when you walk in the grace of God, you don't have to sin, so you don't have to repent. You understand? Grace of God has power with it. The grace of God has power. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you walk in the blessing and the favor of God, you're walking in the kingdom. You can't sin. If you're walking in God's grace, you're not going to sin. If you're walking in God's love, love covers a multitude of sin. So you don't have to worry about whether you're sinning or not when you're walking in the grace of God. And if you slip or mess up, you repent. But I'm telling you, grace was not designed. Grace was designed to obliterate sin. Amen. And when that sinful nature left, you walk in the grace of God, you don't have to worry about sinning. And repenting. I know this is foreign to some of you. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, read your Bible. Read your Bible. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift. So if there was enough grace available to cover all your past sins when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I guarantee you there's enough grace to keep you away from that place. Because you already committed the sin, and Jesus came and loves you to redeem you from that and take out that nature that causes it to begin with. Do you understand what Jesus did? Your old stony heart, that sinful nature was removed out of you. The very production aspect of sin you were delivered from when you asked Jesus into your heart. In Dover, when you asked Jesus into your heart, guess what? The power of sin was broken. Broken in Jesus' name. The very root that produces the sinful nature is cut off. And it's the grace of God that keeps you from going back and trying to produce from that root anymore. Guess what? If you cut a root off and you don't allow it to produce, you don't have to deal with the aspect or the fruit of that root because it's broke. Amen. That's the power of God. And people, for some reason, feel like they want to operate and help that root out because that's their own nature. They feel like they're stuck in that place and that's their only option. No, you cut that thing off, you run from it. And you walk in the grace of God and watch. He'll take you from living in an apartment to living in a whatever your heart desires. That's God's grace. God's, it'll take you from a rented building to a tent to a building to a bigger building. That's the grace of God. I'm not building the building. I told the Lord, I'm not building the building. And he told, you know what he told me back? I don't want you to. I'm like, good. I'm glad we're in agreement. Why? Because God didn't call me to build buildings. He called me to build the kingdom in people. Amen. Build the kingdom in people by the preaching of the gospel. Amen. God saved you, verse 8. by his grace when you believed.
Man, that right there just messes me up. I got to keep. And you can't take credit for this.
It is a gift from God. Verse 9. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You can't boast about your salvation and your walk with the Lord because you had nothing to do with it. When the anointing of God is on you, it's not you, it's God on you. You're just a vessel. Amen. You see this. When you get sin out of the way, it will deliver you to walk in newness of life, free from the curse of sin. And it's nothing to do with your ability. It's God's grace. This is salvation. I hope you're getting something out of this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So if that's how it operated when you got saved, there's nothing you can do to get more of God's grace except for yield. Do you hear me? You can't get saved and then all of a sudden you're going to walk better in the grace of God because you started some ministry. Or you went on television. Or you wrote a book. Or you planted 10 churches. No, the grace of God is because you kept yielded to Him. Amen. Same thing with the anointing. The anointing isn't based out of your ability. It's based off of your yielding and your surrender to God. This foundational truth right here will set you free and it'll keep you free. Amen. Don't go back into bondage about trying to figure it out yourself and in your flesh like the Galatians did. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. Do you realize what it's saying? You are a masterpiece, Rick, brother. You're perfect, brother. You are a masterpiece. Masterpiece. That once you understand that God sees you as a masterpiece, guess what? I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what people think about me, say about me, post about me. I could care less. Like Andrew Womack says, when they came against him and the government sued him in Colorado for keeping his church open, he's like, the only reason I checked is make sure they spell my name correctly so people know where to go and who to talk to. Yeah. Amen. He care less about what people think. You're a masterpiece. Yeah. That means it's nothing about what you do that makes you a masterpiece. It's about whose you are. Who made you the masterpiece? Jesus. Who keeps you shined up and beautiful? Jesus. Come on. It's not in your ability. Do you know your gifts and your talents are just added on? That's just a fruit of the grace that's upon your life. Yeah. It's not your gift and your ability is not in your power. It's in your yielding to the grace of God. We'll get into all this later on. I feel like I'm trying to preach my whole series. I'm going to end in verse 10. Lord, am I going to end in verse 10? Okay. For we are God's. See, I'm not trying to tell God what I'm doing. For we are God's masterpiece. See, I shouldn't say that. Verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Hallelujah. So this tells us, I don't think you quite realize this, this tells us that God knows the beginning from the end. He knows every detail in between. And He has just the right amount of grace for you to accomplish everything, the whole term of your earthly being here. God's grace has already been provided through Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. You say, well, man, I have big plans. God already knows you have big plans. He gave you the desire to have big plans. He's already furnished you with the grace to fulfill the big plans. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you want to say, well, I didn't realize I'd be at a church in Sellersville. Man, I can't believe it. There's a grace available to it. There's a grace for your gas because He knew He wanted you here. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Every detail of your life, there's grace available to it. Amen. Salvation, the power, what I wanted to focus on today, this morning, this afternoon, is there's a grace available to deliver you for your salvation. Grace for salvation. Amen. There's a defender that has been given to give us the ability to overcome this world. And His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you could bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you. I thank you for those listening online. I thank you for each and every person here today that there is a grace, a blessing, a favor, unearned, out of their ability, nothing to do with their ability, but it's all in you, Lord. There's a grace found in God that man cannot understand, that man cannot control, that man cannot limit, and that the enemy cannot stop. That's a divine influence from heaven. That as each person yields to that influence from heaven, God's favor will be upon them. And Lord, I thank you for this message today. I thank you for your word and your spirit. Because without it, nothing would happen. But God, I thank you for your grace that's present right here, right now. A divine influence upon the heart that reflects in someone's life. Father, I thank you that each and every person that knows Jesus is a reflection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus shines down in them and through them to others around. But Lord, I just ask right now if there's anyone that has not received this divine grace through Jesus Christ, has not received Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, the very one that brings the grace of God, the very one that brings deliverance and freedom over the power of sin and death. This man Jesus that came and died on the cross, that came and paid the penalty of sin, that came and redeemed us, purchased us by his own blood. Oh, this precious Jesus is available to every heart that's hungry for it. And Father, I pray right now for everyone that's hungry. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Father, I thank you for grace right now, for salvation, for all who want it right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There it is, grace flowing right now, flowing right now. Just trust him, believe in him. And confess him, Jesus, I believe in you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you now for coming into my heart, for setting me free from the curse of sin and death, for breaking the bondage and the lies off of my life. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me now. I trust you from this day forward. Hallelujah. You'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Never the same again. Just receive it. Receive the grace of God. You're free. You're free in Jesus' name. You're free. You're not bound any longer by sin. The nature of sin is broken off of your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks for joining us online. We love you. Have a great week. Tune in next week. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank you. I know it. I know it. There is a deliverance here. There is a freeing here by the grace of God. If you've held on to something, you're trying to work it out, stop. Just stop. Stop trying to work it out. Give it to God. And he'll give you the keys to the kingdom. He'll give you the wisdom, discernment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment right where you are. And I'm just believing by the Spirit of God, the scriptures that were spoken today are working. They're working.
For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift. There's a gift available, the gift of grace. And if you need to come up and you need to apply it to an area in your life, I pray you do so now. Don't go another day. Don't go another moment trying to carry something that God's grace has already been applied for. It's already done. It's already done. There is a deliverance for you that's already been done 2,000 years ago, and all you need to do is receive it. Just receive it. Just receive the grace of God right where you are. Just receive the grace of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a lie of the enemy thinking for you to think that you're not good enough for it. It's a lie of the enemy. Whew, Jesus. Grace. 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 A grace to do great things. If you have something stern, I'm going to ask this. If you have something stern in your heart to do that seems beyond your ability, beyond your intellect, but the Lord has put something in your spirit, and you're like, man, I really don't understand how this is going to happen. I'm telling you, there's a gift of faith that's available right now. You just step over into it. Step over into it. Step over into it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gift. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You may be saying, why are you taking so long, Pastor? The Lord's dealing with people. It's beyond the natural. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 20:24 says this. This is Paul. But I do not consider myself as something of value or dear to me, so that I may with joy finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify faithfully of the good news of God's precious undeserved grace, get this, which makes us free of guilt, of sin, and grants us eternal life. Free from guilt and sin. And gives us eternal life. What a precious gift. I see people free on the inside. That's causing freedom on the outside. A grace on the inside. That's causing a grace on the outside. A love on the inside. That's causing a love to be produced on the outside. A peace on the inside. That's causing peace on the outside. It's the divine influence of God's grace working on the inside of a believer that produces God's grace on the outside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to share this and then I'll release you. Oh, man. It's burning in my spirit as I stand up here. That the church should never struggle on the inside. There should never be a struggle on the inside. There's things in the world, trials, there's things that come our way that we can't control. There's thoughts that'll come your way that you didn't think of, you're not meditating on, they just come by. You can't control it. But what's on the inside, you have total control over. And I just want to encourage you, church, that you have total control of your spirit man on the inside and your conscience. And as you allow the grace of God in all the on the inside, you can be content and at peace every day of your life. Every day of your life, you can walk in the grace of God. Every day of your life, you can walk in the peace of God. Every day of your life, you can walk in the love of God on the inside. And that's what's going to carry you every day. No matter what's going on the outside, no matter what the world is portraying, no matter what thoughts are trying to come in, you deal with them from the inside out. And it's the grace of God on the inside of you that has removed sin out of your life so you can see the life that God has for you, the abundant life that He has for you, and operate out of that abundant life. Operate out of that place on the inside. It may look contrary to what everybody else is doing. It may look weird to everybody else. You may look like a fool in front of everybody else. But you're a fool for Jesus, and that's what's going to sustain you and allow His grace to operate through you to be able to overcome every area in your life. And I just want to encourage you in that. Get filled on the inside and operate out of that. Stop operating in the world system. Stop operating in your thoughts and operate out of your spirit where God's grace is settled, where God's grace abides, and where His spirit abides in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I get the word dominion. Dominion. Take charge of your life. Take dominion and authority over your life. And live out the life that God has for you. He's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That means every door is open to you from heaven to operate and flow in this life. And I just want to encourage you in that. Father, I thank You for Your people. I thank You as they stayed and heard the word, Lord God. I thank You that that word does not return void. And I thank You that this truth of God's grace for salvation is ever working in the hearts and lives of Your church. Even when they're by themselves, even when they lay their head down on their bed, they realize there's a grace on the inside. That's power that's available to live. And that the enemy has no power over them and no control over them. And they are victorious and overcoming in every area of their life. And that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Hallelujah. That's what's on the inside of you, church. That's what I'm stirring on the inside. Thank You, Lord. And as they go from here, Lord, they go in power. They go in power of the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. I don't have any, I have a lot more, but not for today. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for, I don't want to say thank you for staying, but many people don't like church where it brings a decision or it puts something on them where they have to make a decision. But do you know the gospel and the word of God is designed to bring you to a place of decision? In every sermon, Every time you open your Bible, it should stir in you a place of decision, a place of increase, a place of betterment in your life, that you're not the same after you read it. So if there's conviction or there's a desire to say, man, I can do better in this area. This is something I know I need to work on. Well, guess what? The Lord is with you to work that thing out. And you're going to overcome that area. But a lot of people don't like services like this because it places a demand on God. And it places a demand on you to surrender. And that's how the gospel works. And that's what it calls great growth in your life. Amen. I could go on and on, but I love you. I don't keep ministering because I just want to stand up here and talk. And make your Sunday just full where you don't have anything else to do. It's not the reason I do it. The reason I do it is to bring freedom to you. For you to walk in the newness of what God has and all that God has for you. And it's out of love. Our services are not, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but our services are not to keep you, they're to free you. Amen. That's why we do what we do. And it's hard for some people to endure this long, but I'm telling you, it's going to pay great dividends. Just walk in what God has for you. I love you, I won't keep you, but know that I love you. Please, know that I love you. Be blessed. See you Wednesday.